Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just to update you then on the traffic on the M7 once again. Now, we've had a listener call in to us to say that the accident has been moved into the hard shoulder and that traffic now is moving again at just past Junction 9 on the M7, but it's still having a knock-on effect right back as far as the M9-M7 merge. Traffic is still extremely heavy. And as we heard there from a couple of callers saying that if you have to go out in the car, maybe just wait, give a half an hour just until that moves. But I can tell you that it is clearing up slowly but surely. It's clearing up on the M7 and the M9. We've also heard from people getting in touch from Kilcullen, Newbridge, Naas, Salins, etc. that traffic there is very, very heavy with people coming off the motorway and going in through the towns and the villages, so just be mindful of that. But the accident has been moved into the hard shoulder. Traffic is moving again on the M7, but just to give it another little while before it clears up fully, but we'll keep an eye on it here on KFM. Now, the HSE has said it will begin a review of all open child and adolescent mental health system cases this week, focusing directly on children and adolescents who have not been monitored for 6 months or more. It follows a report by the Mental Health Commission, which has highlighted significant deficits in the CAMHS system due to what the Inspector of Mental Health Services has described as serious concerns and consequent risks for some patients. Dr. Susan Finnerty has produced an interim report in an effort to address risks in 4 out of 5 community health organisations that she has inspected so far. Well, Berg Rogan is Policy and Research Manager at the Mental Health Reform, and she's on the line now. Berg, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Alan. Thanks so much for having me on.
As I mentioned there, it's an interim report, but what is your reaction to this and maybe the coverage that we've seen over the last 24 hours?
Yeah, so unfortunately at Mental Health Reform, we're not surprised by the findings in the interim report. I think after the Maskey report last year, you know, there was widespread discussion around failures across the CAMHS system. We're really glad that the interim report is brought out, you know, rather than the Mental Health Commission waiting to finish the other four, because it means that we can start taking action now. I think one of the things that we're seeing on the persistent failures of clinical oversight, you know, and reports that we have, is we know these things are happening. So how are they going to be addressed? How are we going to change them? How are we going to make sure children are getting the care that they need and deserve?
Okay. When we say that there's a lack of governance, and in this report it says that lack of governance in many areas is contributing to some inefficient and unsafe CAMHS services through failure to manage risk, failure to fund and recruit key staff. What exactly does that mean, and what needs to be done here?
Yeah, I suppose what was interesting when you looked through the report, there were 5 community health organisations that were examined. I know Kildare was one of them as well, one of the CHOs. And 4 of the 5 have, you know, damning reports into the systems. But one of the CHOs, one of the areas, is working quite well. So for us, there are pockets of good work being done, and it shouldn't be a postcode lottery about whether you get a good service or not. So one of the things that we've been calling for years is the reinstatement of a national lead in the HSE, reporting directly to the CEO, who has that strategic oversight, who's looking at all of the services and who's recruiting well, who's managing their waiting list well, you know, who has their IT systems and managing risk and follow up, and, you know, that ensuring that children aren't being lost in the system. You know, if that is happening in some community health organisations, then why is it not happening in all of them? And the national lead was taken away in 2016, and we've been calling since then for the reinstatement of that person. And with Bernard Gloucester due to start soon, the new CEO, we think there's a really, really good opportunity, a new chance for the HSE to centre mental health and to make it a priority.
Yeah, Dr. Finity inspected the provisions of CAMHS in 5 out of the 9 community healthcare organisations, and as you correctly say, Kildare, West Wicklow, Dublin West, Dublin South City and Dublin South West, all part of the CHO7 organisation, was indeed inspected. What is the Maskey review then, Burr? Because this was brought back in, or this was reviewed in 2021, was it?
Yeah, so I think, and this is the thing, I suppose, that this time we need there to be real change, because every so often there is some sort of report or media report about failings in our CAM system, and it's not good enough, and it creates fear and worry for the people and the families and the children accessing the services. So last year there was a Maskey report into South Kerry CAMHS, and like that there were very damning findings of lack of clinical oversight and maybe over prescription of certain medications and things like that, and children were being put at risk. I think it was 40 something children were reported at been at serious risk. So it was out of that this interim report happened, and the HSE are doing some other audits around all of the CAMHS across the country. But I suppose the thing, as I said, is, you know, we know this isn't a surprise. You know, we know that these things are happening. We know that staff are overstretched and overworked, and that they're working in substandard, with substandard resources in some places, and that's not fair on them either. It's not fair on anyone. The system is failing everyone at this point.
That's a general overview of kind of what this interim report has stated, Burr, and I was watching yourself on the Tonight Show last night on Virgin Media. Looking great on television as well.
Stop, my first time on telly, I was so nervous.
No, you did very well. And look, I mean, it really highlighted, there was a young girl there from Kerry, yeah, who explained how maybe this was affecting her personally. And I know families are saying that children are deteriorating while they're waiting for an assessment. Parents expressing concern about how their child had deteriorated. Families left frustrated, distressed, trying to cope with mental health difficulties. So it is worth remembering that while we're looking at, and these reports are important, they're families, they're people, they're children who are being directly affected here.
Exactly. And the thing as well is, by the time a family or a child, a young adolescent, get to a CAM service, they've already been experiencing some sort of distress. You know, it's not, CAMHS is not the first port of call. So what systems are we putting in place for earlier intervention? Like, we have 81 member organisations across the community and voluntary sector who are providing absolutely amazing care across the country, and there are opportunities where they could be, you know, more sustainably funded, and that their services could be more widely spread across the communities. There are also some areas where the CAMHS teams and the GPs might work very closely with the community and voluntary sector organisations, and that creates a more holistic piece of care for the person, the young person, and for their family. And also we have to recognise there are young children in care, traveller children, more marginalised and vulnerable children who might not have the family supports, or, you know, those kind of close family supports who are accessing CAMHS as well. So, you know, where is the additional support for them outside of the mental health supports, you know, like an advocacy service or somewhere that they can turn to? But we one of our other priorities is, there is a piece of legislation, the reform of the Mental Health Act 2001. It has gone through pre-legislative scrutiny. So the Subcommittee on Mental Health did a report last year. There's a whole new section on Part 8 in that would strengthen children's legal rights to care and the care that they would receive. It's down for priority drafting in the spring session in the Dáil, but it's long, long overdue. We've been consistently calling for it to be brought forward urgently, and we do think, I believe the Minister Donnelly and maybe Minister Butler are going to be before the Dáil on Thursday. So we would be very much hoping that they'll be giving us a date for introduction of the reform of the Mental Health Bill.
Okay, it's also worth pointing out that while this report raises serious concerns, it does point out that some parents spoke about what's been described as excellent care that their child received once they were accepted from waiting lists, and about the support that they received as parents. And HSE Chief Operations Officer Damien McCallion said the HSE has a major CAMHS improvement process underway. So, I mean, it's a shame that more parents and more children are not being helped out here, because as some have alluded to there, once they get into the system, they're receiving fantastic care. How confident would you be, and yourselves at the Mental Health Reform, that this major CAMHS improvement process underway will help to alleviate those waiting lists and more people will get treatment?
I mean, I like to be optimistic, Owen, and positive about, you know, that we have these opportunities and, you know, we get the reports, we get the recommendations, but it's the next step of implementing those recommendations. There is funding there. Mental health funding is a small part of the overall health budget. It's only between 5% and 6% of the overall health budget. Our own targets for Sláinte Care were 10% of the overall health budget by 2024. So there is political will needed at government levels. And we know that it's there, but now we need the funding and the resources to be put behind it. You know, we're not going to, if staff are completely overworked and aren't able to do the work that they want to do, which is giving mental health supports and services to young people and adolescents, you know, why would you stay in that work environment when, you know, with the waiting lists aren't been managed, or it's a paper-based filing system? So this is about the young people accessing the care, the families and the communities, and also the people working really hard. In Budget 2023, Minister Butler did announce a assistant director post for youth mental health specifically, which we welcomed, but it hasn't even been advertised yet. That was announced at the end of September last year for 2023, and we know that recruitment takes a while. So, you know, that's, again, the solutions are there in front of us all. We just need to actually start implementing them.
Okay, well, parents or guardians with concerns or queries about children currently attending CAMHS can contact their child's team directly, or they can call HSE Live at 1800 700 700. That's 1800 700 700. And an interim report by the Mental Health Commission highlighting what's been described as significant deficits in the child and adolescent mental health system. And with that analysis is Burr Grogan, Policy and Research Manager with the Mental Health Reform. Thanks for joining us, Burr. Good morning to you. Now, just to go back to traffic and travel then, and to let you know, it is continuing to clear up now on the M7 heading northbound following that collision a little bit earlier on, just after Junction 9 for Naas. It's clear now for most of the way up to the big ball, but it's also still a little bit heavy there with that knock-on effect coming up to the M7 M9 merge heading towards Dublin, and that obviously then is having a knock-on effect with traffic going into Naas, into Kilcullen and into Newbridge as well as Salins. But the good news is there, it's continuing to clear up. Let's go to the Selbridge area then, where Fianna Fáil councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Michael Coleman, joins us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Owen.
Local issues then that you've been raising with the council. You wanted them to install a welded wire fencing in Ballymakeely Grove in Selbridge. That's an estate there. Why did you want that installed?
Yeah, Owen, I suppose the Residents Association brought this to me because of the obvious dangers that this issue posed. So it was the timber fencing only fallen were causing major safety concerns, but it's also unsightly, resulting in dumping, which is a problem there as well. And I suppose especially it's undesirable because it's adjacent to a local school. Now, I spoke to the park, and they say that they'll meet me on site, and they're satisfied that the site will be examined, cost assessed, and hope to further update in the coming months.
All right.
This issue.
Just if I'm on loudspeaker there, Michael, you might take me off loudspeaker. Just bring the phone closer to you just because it's a little bit far away at the moment. But you also wanted the council to provide an update on the outcome of the safety audit stage 3. This was the completed permeability link from the Castle Wellen estate in Selbridge to the road serving Aldi.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose this is a problem because this is a brand new estate, so it is. And there was a problem because there was a permeability open on part of the state, so there was. And it caused safety issues for a lot of residents. And I brought this before, so I did, and they've come back now and they said they've done the audit on the site. The inspection took place in 2022, and the audit confirmed that the safety issues identified in the audit have been satisfactorily addressed, which was further validated by a further inspection conducted by Kildare County Council Roads Planning Section in June 2022. It is reported that layout will improve safety and increase connectivity between the retail and residential area. But the residents are still not happy. Now, this is a state that's just been taken over last December, and the residents are going to look at this again.
All right. And also then, Michael, just to finish up on this one, you wanted the municipal district to receive a deputation from the Selbridge Community First Responders at the February meeting. Why was that?
Yeah, I spoke to the first responders, Selbridge Community First Responders, there just before Christmas. And they asked me, like, you know, could we meet with the elected representatives to show what they're doing and how far they've gone. And they were formed in 2018 and they went live in 2019. And I suppose the Selbridge CFRs arranged for an overall rota of trained and qualified volunteers to respond to emergency calls in Selbridge area. And like, volunteers are equipped with AEDs and they can respond to emergencies relating to cardiac arrest, heart attack, choke and stroke and that, you know. And I suppose they've agreed to the deputation. I suppose through funding, first responders have been able to secure automated external defibrillators, but they need funding to ensure AEDs can be maintained.
Okay.
And volunteers can be trained. And I suppose, look at Clem, it's a problem, I suppose, everywhere, volunteers. And I ask anyone out there that to support the first responders because they're always on the lookout for volunteers. And also, LinkSIP went live last year, so they welcome volunteers.
Okay. Very well said. That's Fianna Fáil councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Michael Coleman. Thanks for joining us, Michael, with those local issues in the north of the county. A couple more messages just coming in then to update us on the traffic. Sandy says that she's on the N7. Traffic is moving slowly, but it's okay. It is moving. Another listener saying that it's still bumper to bumper out as far as the Bundle of Sticks and on the Millennium Road as well. But again, to say that the accident has been cleared now at Junction 9, so it is starting to move, albeit slowly, and traffic is still heavy, but it is moving, and we'll keep an eye on it, as we said, throughout the course of the morning here on KFM. Let's go back to the phone lines now, though, and I'm joined on the line by Tom O'Riordan, Newbridge resident living in Lakeside Park. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Owen.
Good to talk to you, Tom. You got in touch with us yesterday on WhatsApp. You're calling for more streetlights to be installed in the estate. What's the issue there?
It's concerning lighting in our laneway here in Lakeside Park. And look, I believe it. You say what you see, okay? Like, we've been living here. We moved into this estate in around 1988. And it was only 2 years ago that Kildare County Council, they repaired a mess and large potholes in a laneway on our road. And I sent you a photograph there. I hope you've seen them.
I did.
It took, 2 years ago? We're here, 35 years?
Yeah.
And it was only 2 years ago that the laneway was repaired. There was never anything done with the laneway when the houses were finished, to be quite honest with you. And the only one that came to our aid was Mark Wall, and we're very thankful for him for that. I also, Laura, Light of Heaven to him, I met him at a match down in Connells Park. Willie Crowley, Laura Lighter had been to him, and he, that man, came up to my house, sat in my sitting room, and said, "Look, I get in and stuck into this, and I can see, can I help you?" You know, but unfortunately, you know, Lord of mercy on him.
Yeah.
But in saying that, like, I contacted in my hometown councillors. Now, I'm going to be honest here. They came up, they had a look, and I've never seen them again.
Right. Like, explain to me. Yeah, explain to me what the issue is then. So, it's not the whole estate is in darkness. This is a particular cul-de-sac.
No, it's not the whole estate. Our problem is, unfortunately, in the dark, in the lane.
Right.
Unfortunately, we have dumping. And it's a pity. Now, the lane, as I said, was done up. It was only 804. Okay. It's a grand job. Estates around our area, they were tarmacked and upgraded. And I have to say, fantastic job done. Fantastic job. But, as I said, I contacted local councils. Nothing happened. And at the end of the day, we were left like that. Basically, what we're looking for, now I am talking about, it was 35 years since that laneway was done. I am literally talking about lights. I've been looking, we have been looking for two lights in the laneway for the last 10, 15 years. And Kildare County Council came back and said they couldn't do it because of lack of funds. Now, I don't believe that for one moment.
Right.
Really, I don't believe that. I mean, if the other states were done up, all we're looking for is two lights. That's all.
Okay, I mentioned it yesterday, Tom, when you text in, and I've been out at Lakeside Park about four or five times in the last couple of months because of everything that's going on with the modular houses and public meetings taking place there, etc. That's a conversation for a different day. But what I did notice was, okay, the footpaths are being upgraded there, and that was up around the Family Resource Centre, etc. But other people were saying to me, what about the tar here, the local area where children are meant to play, and it's known locally as the tar. What's your view on that then? Does that need to be upgraded as well?
Yeah, we have a park across from us here. There's volleyball nets, what do you call it, put up. But that's a disgrace over there. I mean, the kids have nowhere to play. They definitely have nowhere to play. Now, I was involved with sport myself. I spent an awful lot of time in sport, and when I finished playing myself, I went back in and I start training kids, and I enjoyed every moment, and I spent about 22 years doing it, and I loved it, and some of the young lads went down and did well for themselves. But at the end of the day, that area over there that you're talking about is an absolute disgrace, and there should be something done with it, because the kids have nowhere to play. I.e. where we live on our road here, we have a laneway, we have young kids running up and down. I mean, it was an eyesore in the summer and a nightmare in the winter.
Mm.
Now, I know it's been done. As I said, back to us here, we're looking for two lights. That area over there on Dara Park side, they could turn that into a lovely little park for the kids. You know what I mean? A few swings, things like that.
Yeah, okay.
But it's never been done.
We'll put the call out to Kildare County Councillors then in the Newbridge area. I know you said you've been in touch with them, Tom, but we'll put the call out there again to see even if this could be looked at and brought to the attention of Kildare County Council again about the possibility of streetlights going in that cul-de-sac that you're talking about at Lakeside Park, and we'll keep in touch with you as well. All right, Tom?
The only thing I'd say, I wish you luck with that. I mean, I'd put it to you this way. Look, like, we had local elections, and they came around. I actually had a group at my door, and I brought them out, and I showed them the lane, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, they were all there with the wire. There must have been four or five of them, probably more. And they were, Tom, that's no problem. We'll get that sorted.
Right, I just got a message in here, Tom, just while I have you, because I need to move on then to the next guest. But we have a message in here saying that if you ask the listener in Lakeside Park to contact Patricia Ryan's office, Sinn Féin TD, that they're going to take a look at it for you. So I'll pass the number on to you on WhatsApp in a few moments' time. But that's a message there that has come in if you want to contact Patricia Ryan.
That's very good, yeah.
Right, okay. I'll leave it with you, Tom. I'll be in touch with you after the show, but just to highlight that, a Newbridge resident there in Lakeside Park calling for additional streetlights in the Lakeside Park area, and that is Tom O'Riordan. Thanks for your time, Tom. Right, let's go to Selbridge again. Independent councillor Ida Cussons on the line. Good morning, Ida.
Good morning, Owen.
You want additional street lighting and additional lighting to the traffic lights on the Shackleton Road for cyclists, similar to those that are on the Strachan Road in Maynooth. Are you going to get them?
Well, it's the cycle traffic signals that we're looking for, really. I wouldn't say no and I wouldn't say yes, but it's a very busy junction there. The Shackleton Road has been upgraded in part there at the Skull and the Monastrough Junction. It's a four-arm junction there. We have good cycle lanes there, as good as has been designed currently anyway. And unfortunately, as an observation there, there are a lot of cyclists that when the pedestrian lights work, because when you press the pedestrian lights, all four arms stop at the same time, and one couldn't help but notice that cyclists often go through at that stage as well, and the cyclists are of course expected and should obey all the normal road traffic signals, and as a result of that I asked, could we get some additional signage there? The signals, like what is up there at the Maxall Garage up on the Dublin Road to the Strachan Road, you see them around Dublin as well. It is possible. There's a couple of examples of them in there, but we're waiting on this new traffic manual that hasn't been issued yet, that obviously we would have to adhere to, but there would be some examples in that. I think as part of the upgrades that we're going to be doing on the Shackleton Road for traffic calming through LPT funding that we're currently looking at, it could be possible to actually add something additional there. And I think the support of the area engineer is possibly there for that too.
Okay. Are the council planning to include footpaths on the main walking routes in the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District as part of the salting rota for this winter?
No, I wish they would, but no, you've seen it probably throughout the county. People are asking, but there's no funding. They list out all the routes that they have and the salting teams, etc., which is all very understandable. But maybe for Budget 24 we could look at, because we're all being told to cycle and to walk, particularly to school and that. So maybe a bit more work with the SPC in conjunction with the roads department to look at budget funding to see about even the school and cycle routes, the particular ones there. So it's not an absolutely no, but it's really not yes either.
Nope. Okay, the parklets then in Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, we've seen those come in really over COVID for outdoor dining, etc. You wanted an assessment carried out on those. Why?
Yeah, well, some of them are starting to not look their best at this stage, maybe. So I suppose a number of us are wondering, myself included, who kind of, they're not varnished, they're stained, it's timber. So, like, who actually treats them, who cleans the moss off them, or that kind of stuff. The fake grass that will be at the bottom of some of them would have a bad smell maybe at this stage as well. The water logs, that kind of stuff, the plants die off. So, you know, those observations is now, first of all, they were put there, as you're right, as part of the emergency funding for outdoor eating during COVID. Very grateful to have them at the time. Now we have to look at them and say, we have a few. Are they something that we need or don't need? Sometimes people mix them up with the Section 154 licence and for tables outdoors, and some people have put tables very near to them, which gives the impression they're part of it as well. So I've asked myself and Bernard Caldwell, that was a joint motion, to have them look at, from a point of view of accessibility, the one in Leixlip wouldn't be fully accessible, the repainting or cleaning of them, planting the ground surface. So who's responsible, and do we need bins at them? Do we need to upgrade them? Do we need to remove them? What do we need to do? Let's have a look at them in RMD. So that's happening and we'll see what they say back to us.
Okay, finally and briefly on this one, if you would, Ida, are the council going to the bring banks there in the MD, are they going to regularly empty them at times of higher than expected normal demand?
Well, as you see, they do that. It came about because I see people passing comments that there was an awful lot of bottles. That's your bottle banks, typically, in supermarket places. The council advances specifically in respect of the one at Leaks Affair at Lidl's. And they say, for example, like there was 44 tonnes in December 22 compared to 34 tonnes in November. They do already anticipate demand and they react before that happens. So yes, they do is the answer. They already do. It's not that they're going to, but that they do, because there was a lot of commentary that perhaps they weren't doing that, but that's the answer, that they do anticipate. They
okay.
do an extra calls, yeah.
Okay, independent councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, that is Ida Cusson with those local issues. Thanks for joining us, Ida. And just before we take a break, Fine Gael councillor Peggy O'Dwyer has come in on the email to say, I'm happy to meet with Tom and request that additional lighting be considered for the laneway at Lakeside Park in Newbridge and any other issues that may need looking at. And she also says there is funding set aside to complete a master plan to enhance and improve the area in Lakeside Park regarding the playground, etc. That's around the tower area there between Lakeside Park and Darrow Park. So thanks to Peggy O'Dwyer for those emails.